The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stadtmiller, host of the National Intel Report. Have been for many, many years. It is the ninth day of May, 2018. And I've got Steve Elkins with me today. Do I have Steve?
I am here, John.
Hey.
You know, we say many moons, John.
Many
been around many, many moons.
Too many damn moons. This year, though, I'm thinking about celebrating my damn birthday, which is abhorrent to me. But if you're going to do a countdown, you might as well do it the right way.
So, you going to call out the fire department? That cake, those candles. You got a few more than I do.
Yeah, he who laughs, laughs best.
Yeah.
You're a few years younger than me.
I'm a whippersnapper to you.
And it shows. It's okay. It's okay. By the way, another bank story. Same bank, same customer. They have had. This is really irritating, and the damn thing is just flat out ugly. They have a 7-foot wooden carving of some banker that was here in Round Rock, and they have displayed this thing since Christmas with great pride. Now, it's really weird. It's solid wood. I mean, the damn thing has to weigh more than a human being if it's solid wood and it's 7 foot tall. There's three things on it that articulate: its arms and its head. The head doesn't move forward or backward, side to side. You can just spin it around, and that's about it. So what I've been doing is walking into this bank. I've been asking them, how long are you going to leave this thing up? You know, somebody made the decision to drag the thing out of storage. It was at storage at the bank. Drag it into the lobby and plant the thing there. Well, today gave me a perfect opportunity with a brand new teller and a manager that does know me. I went to pay the mortgage today. Oh, well, you know, you just don't have, we can't give you enough credit. I said, just cash and deposit the checks. I said, I don't want to get anybody else in trouble. I said, but I have done that in this bank before, because you know what? I never give you any bad checks. There's always funding available. And I said, it's been that way for 26 years and with your bank for almost 12. Well, you know, I'm sorry. You know. And I said, well, you know, there's money on the credit card thing. We got donations. And I said, I looked at the batch out last night and, you know, there's $810 there. And I says, and that will be in there tomorrow as well. They wouldn't do it. So I'm standing there. And I looked at this guy, and then he knows exactly who I am. And then he asked me for my ID. I just stood there and stared at him. Didn't say a word. And I was chewing on one of their free lollipops. I'm surprised. Used to get blenders and toasters and things like that from the bank. No, now they're charging you for their bank checks, and they're there to charge you any fee that they possibly can. And then for the benefit of the new teller, I launched into my story about talking to one of their people that came down in September of 2009 to Austin to calm the fears of the Chase banks down here in Austin because they were wigging out. They figured time is nigh, we're out of time, holy mackerel, people are going to make runs on the bank, it's going to be absolute hell. Well, I looked at this little teller. She was paying attention. She wasn't fidgeting with anything else. She was paying attention. I said, now let me tell you the story of how Chase Bank has treated this customer. I said, I used to have a car. I got it at zero interest through Chase. At the time, my credit was good. That was prior to 2008, mind you. And my credit was just fine. I could get a zero interest car loan. And I said, until I had to turn it in because I couldn't afford the payments. And Chase financed another car for me. Isn't this great? I said, you can see the little crap bucket from here. It's sitting in your parking lot. And I said, well, Chase required that I come up with $1,000 cash. And, well, there's going to be a high interest rate. How high? 16.5%. I said, now. The story's not done. It wasn't too long after that I had a Chase credit card that was only used for business purposes, to pay a bill, to borrow money off of that card in case I was short on payroll for the week. I said not once did I ever use that to even buy a stick of gum. I said I paid it off. 10 days later, I get a letter from you fine folks saying that your credit card is canceled. We ran a credit check on you, and you're not worthy of a credit card from Chase. And I said, and you know what? That led me to the person, the last person in Chase, all the way in New York. It's kind of like that guy that's got the hand grenade with the little ring on his desk. Here's the complaint department. Take a number. You know, go ahead, pull a pin, in other words. I said, this is the woman I ended up with. And I said, I'm standing in your manager's office right over there, and I pointed. Manager's no longer there. And I warned the manager, I said, this may get a little bit sticky. She just nodded her head and smiled and said, that's fine. And I said, then I get involved with this person as to my credit card and why it was canceled, and it's up to me to maintain my credit score. I said, stop here a second. I said, Chase was involved in this, in the mortgage-backed securities, all the crap that they sold around that, all the insurance and everything else. I said, do you know that this affected every industrialized country around the world? By the way, they all used the funny money. We witnessed the biggest ripoff mankind has ever seen. And nobody got charged. Nobody went to jail. And I said, the coup d'etat on this one, after the bankers ripped everybody off, not only in this country, but around the world, guess who's on the hook to pay for what the bankers outright stole? That's right, you and I. And at this point in time, I am containing myself. I don't want to give them an excuse for, you know, calling the cops or anything else. I'm maintaining my cool. Well, I don't know, and the guy says to me again, he says, well, you know, you can use our credit card processing, it won't cost you anything, and the funds will be available the next day. I just looked at him and I said, I'm not going to give Chase anything else. I said, I'm only here because, well, quite frankly, I'm stuck with you guys. I said, it's not really of my choosing. And I said, the only reason that I can do some of the things I do is because I've been a customer for over a decade with you people. The little girl just stood there and looked at me. And I said, oh, by the way, did they tell you how much the banker stole and they made you and I pay for it? I said, $1.4 quadrillion. I said, did they teach you that in your accounting school to become a little teller here at the bank? I said, I can almost guarantee you any calculator you have behind that counter, you don't have enough zeros to go to $1.4 quadrillion. I said, those are numbers so high a dog can't even hear the damn things. I'm telling you, it was, and I took a half hour out of my time to do that. And I told him, I said, the only power that I have is the power to tell my story over and over and over again, and I'll tell it to anybody that's standing in this bank or anybody that's standing behind that counter with a look on my face that basically said, and I dare you to say a damn thing about it. Please say something to me.
John, does she know what you do? Does she ever listen to the show? Do you ever ask her to?
Well, this is a new teller.
Oh, you should tell her about the network.
Oh, no.
She should learn.
Oh, no. I've told them enough. They don't want to know any more. They don't want to know any more truth. Because let me put it to you this way. And I'm going to use something that has not been thoroughly vetted, but people will understand the point. You're Dr. Mengele's assistant. How do you feel about that?
Who's my assistant?
You're the assistant to Dr. Joseph Mengele. How do you feel about that?
I don't know who's Dr. Joseph Mengele.
Oh, my God, a rookie.
Yeah, who is it?
You know, Nazi Germany?
The guy
that I guess would strip human beings of skins and they would make lampshades out of them and stuff.
That's not true.
Hey, you know that they said it.
I know. We've talked about that. That it is the.
But you get the point.
Yes,
how would you feel for working with Dr. Mengele?
Okay. Well, no, I wouldn't.
Well, okay. So, how do these people feel about working at that bank when I get done with them? And do you think they're equipped to hear anything else? They don't want to know anything else.
Got it. By the way, your bank still hands out little suckers. my bank hangs out Mentos. And you know what? I don't put it in my pocket right away. I kind of hold on to it for a while and exit the bank.
Aren't those the little things you can drop in a soda bottle and they explode?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, yes, it is.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, just be careful with the Mentos.
Oh, please. Oh, please take me to your bank when I come down and see you. Please.
Oh, we're going to talk about that, right?
Mentos?
Well, I know we're going to talk about that article on the website.
Well, and I was talking to you today, and I'd forgot that you had sent it to me.
Yeah.
and
I was angry. I was angry about that.
Well, and I'm having a negative effect on Steve Elkins. Oh. He's now talking to himself. Now he's getting pissed off. He's got to warn his wife that I'm a little edgy today.
Yeah.
And I told him today, I said, congratulations, you've crossed the Rubicon. And I almost felt a little bit bad and guilty. I almost did. Yeah. Notice I said almost. We need everybody. We need everybody in this fight.
Well, you know, I threw it also by Rivero today. And I said, what do you do to unwind, de-stress? And he said, I'll give you a hint. Russia makes it. It's a little cocktail, a little drink Russia is very famous for making.
Black Russians?
No, vodka.
What?
Vodka.
Oh, vodka.
Yeah, I guess that's a little stress reliever. And yeah, I probably should do that. I have changed, John. I'm not the same guy I was.
I know. And I
really am.
And I'm being honest with you right on here in front of God and all his people and all of America. No. When I'm saying I almost feel bad about it because I took this easygoing, very nice man, very nice wife. He was encapsulated in his own world with his own career, and his wife has the same kind of career, and everything is hunky-dory. They got the hell out of Madcap, California, and moved down to Florida at an undisclosed location. But you were enjoying life until I came along.
Well, you know, if you don't care, you have no skin in the game, you don't care, well, then this stuff just bounces off you. But like I said, I get in the morning, and I try to keep a good attitude. You know, the glass is half full. And by the time I get done reading the paper and watching the news and seeing the lies and the propaganda and everything else thrown at me, it's just overwhelming, you know, and that glass, half glass is half full, and there's something nasty floating around in that half glass. And it does kind of screw up your day because I care. I love this country, and I'm tired of it. So I've decided the new me tomorrow starts working out in the gym. So I figure in the next 30 days, I'm really going to get buff. And so when you come down, you're going to say, geez, Steve, you look buff.
Great. And
there you go.
And I'm sedentary. I've gained weight. And you're going to make me feel bad.
I'm going to bring you one of those big, giant cheeseburgers, I promise you.
Now, I have a small announcement today. Mr. Elkins will not be with me next Monday for the show. And Ron McDonald is absent, trying to heal from a double bypass and all that other stuff. And he is following strictly the doctor's orders.
Strict orders.
Yeah, and I told Steve today, he and I were talking about the gun issue, and I said, you know what? I said, this should be on the air. And I said, you want to do the show with me? And he said, yeah, sure. Well, about 15 minutes later, Mr. Elkins says, oh, by the way, my wife's birthday is next Monday, and I'll be taking that day off. And I'm probably going to go to the beach. And I'm going, oh. And then Mr. Elkins says to me, he says, you know, I think I'll call into the show and hold the phone up so you can hear the surf breaking on the shore. And I said, oh, please, please do. Please.
And the seagulls. And the seagulls.
And the shagools as well, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't use Mementos. I use Alka-Seltzer and I watch them blow up. I am teasing. No. I'm joking. No. God, I'm...
I need it. I need it right now. I really do. I just flat out need. I'm a changed man, and I am a little bit edgy now. My wife said, you're a little touchy today, and we'll be driving in the car, and the news will be on, and I'll hear something, and I'll kind of just in a loud tone of voice, and she'll have to roll the window down and say, bring the tone down. You're getting worked up. I said, yeah, okay, I'll stop. But no, I get irritated very easy because I love this country and I see it going to hell. It makes me bad.
Well, is Michelle within earshot right now?
She's in the other room.
Is she listening to the show?
Probably, yeah.
Michelle, Steve can always get another wife, but he can't get another country. Wait a minute, is the invitation off now?
No, she is very supportive, and she understands. She said, I do understand. We were talking about vaccines today, and we got some bad news today, some vaccine injury from a family member who took 3 vaccines at 70 years old. They are now losing sensation in their legs, losing sensation in their bowel, and can't walk, and 70 years old. 3 vaccines. We got a flu vaccine, a pneumovax vaccine, and the shingles vaccine. And now this 70-year-old is not a normal 70-year-old anymore. And the doctor actually admitted when he saw the patient, he said, this was caused by the vaccines.
So okay. We're not real happy. Oh, I hope there was a witness to that. Because this guy knowingly gave a 70-year-old vaccinations that he knew might injure him. Oh, well, you've got this guy by the short hairs. Oh, you can't even die in peace in this country anymore.
No, I don't think. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure majority of doctors do not read the inserts of these vaccines. They don't read them.
Well,
first of all, you can't hardly read them anyway because they're such small print. I mean, I've got them. I look at them.
Just made for old people's eyes, right? They're 20/20 vision.
By the way, Michelle just walked in here, and you can't come down here. She said that's. She just walked in. She says, no, he's canceled. He can't come down. No, you can't.
Great. Well, I'll just show up at your back door, and we'll go out and party.
Yep.
All right. Sitting here eating a blueberry muffin, trying to get rid of the jitters, the hyperglycemia. Sorry, Steve. Take a 3-minute break. I'll finish the rest of the muffin. Steve Elkins is joining me today. This is the National Intel Report, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll be right back.
We got the
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
So yesterday, Steve Elkins sends me this email. Man pays for mint, cop pulls gun on him. Talked about that yesterday.
Yeah.
And you pointed something out, Steve, that, you know, it's not shoplifting. Mm-mm. Even if you are in a store, even if it's stop and rob like this gas station, mm-hmm. that if you take something off a shelf and stick it in your pocket, that's not stealing until you walk off the property.
Exactly.
Now, Mr. Gung Ho, that felt threatened to the point of standing behind this guy when his back's turned and pulling out his service weapon and pointing at this guy, I played the clip yesterday, and I thought the guy was more than cordial.
Oh, yeah.
And that I'm talking about the cop's intended victim. And it's just absolutely ludicrous. Why would a man standing there, seeing this guy talk to the guy behind the counter, the employee of the store, there's no problems there. The conversation is cordial. He's doing his business. The only thing that he came in for is because his wife wanted some stinking Mentos. And this guy does his, I'm scared of everything. I'm going to pull my gun to ensure my safety. That's what this was really about, Steve.
Oh, no. Actually, I have my own little story. I lived in California. And I think I talked to you about this before. The police officer, local police officers, they're very militarized now. They're very militarized. They look like military. They act like military. They're not very nice people, most of them. Most of them. Not all of them, but most. And I went to a high school nearby. We had a little problem in the neighborhood with kids parking in our area here and just taking up our parking spaces. And so we met, and the trash and litter they also bring. So we had a little talk with the police officers, and the community got together in the high school. And it was nice. It was a good meeting. We were getting something done. We were addressing our issues with the school kids and the parking issue problem. And I walked over to a police officer, young guy, and I'm going to say 25 or so, and just to talk to him about some other things. And I looking straight at him, I walk over and said, "Hi, how you doing? My name's Steve Elkins." And he quickly guards his gun, his service revolver, as if I was going to disarm him and shoot him. And basically in his body language, he gave me body language like, "Stop right there. Stop right there." And I couldn't believe it. And I thought, what is going on? Even my wife picked up on that. She's, what's wrong with that guy? I said, "You know, Michelle, we've been talking about this. And they're militarized. I don't know if he's fresh out of Iraq or Afghanistan, but there's a mentality that everybody now is equally possibility of being a perpetrator." And I did nothing threatening, just came over to talk to the guy. And now I realize every time I see these guys, or they get behind you and they turn the lights on. I had one try to give me a ticket for going too slow one time. I was going 45 in a 55 zone or something. Late at night, it was like 12 o'clock, pulls me over, tells me I'm going too slow. And actually, he said, I can give you a ticket." I said, "For what? What's the speed limit?" He says, it's 55. "Do you know how fast you were going?" I said, "About 45. "Why are you going so slow?" I said, "Well, you see all the dead deer on the side of the road? You see what kind of car I'm driving here? I'm driving a Mazda 3, the same car you drive." And he said, "Well, you had people lined up behind you. They couldn't get by you." And I said, "How's that possible? People behind me who couldn't get around me, if you're behind me. How's that possible?" And then he goes, "Do you work at the hospital?" I said, "Oh, wow, this guy is so smart. I've got scrubs on. I got a stethoscope around my neck. I just got off of work early because we had a late night." And they said, "Go home, Steve, if you want to. I'm going home." And so, you know, what would happen if I hit a deer with this little Mazda 3? Because they're everywhere at nighttime. And I told him, "I'm going slow." He said, "What? I can give you a ticket for going too slow." "Fine, give me the ticket. I'll be in court. Because I make a good case, I'm being very cautious. I'm not going too fast. I'm going a little under, and it's like 12 o'clock midnight, pitch dark, poor lighting, windy roads, and deer. So I'm being smart on my way to get home, and this guy's looking for a reason."
Yep.
"Looking for a reason to give me a ticket or search my vehicle." And, you know, I was talking to my next-door neighbor about this video here, the other one we're going to talk about later on, kicking the guy in the head. 10%, at least 10% of the volume of police officers in this country, at least 10% are bad apples. They're Barney Fifes. They are power crazy. They want to shoot that gun. They got to take somebody down. You're not a police officer until you shoot somebody or kill someone. And I'm tired of this. I really am tired. I'm very, very hesitant to even talk to these people anymore. They're no more the motto to protect and serve is no longer a motto anymore. Actually, they took it off their vehicles. Because they don't care about that anymore. You are a possible perpetrator, and I'm going to look at you skeptical every time. And it's not a nice feeling to walk around and feel like you're living in a police state. And when I see this video here, this guy buying the mints, and a guy pulls a gun out because he put mints in his pocket, which he paid for, by the way, and had a receipt, that would have been threatening. You know. And then the other one kicking a guy in the head that was clearly not – he was detained and he was not a threat. And the police union coming back and saying, "Well, he did everything right." I'm really disturbed by that.
Well, just think for a second, how many people have been shot because they make a move that the cops deem threatening, and there's no weapon, there's no knife, there's no gun, there's a cell phone or something else. And, well, they'll just shoot first, get you toe-tagged, and then the questions start later. That's only after, by the way, you're dead, and I'm sure that was for your own protection.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I knew that verse was coming around, so we waited. Time to lock and load. This shooting is. You sent me another story, and or was it somebody else that sent it? That
no, I sent you one today. Yeah, for Orlando.
Orlando, was that the guy that was at the ATM?
Yeah, for the Wells Fargo. Yeah.
Okay. Which one do you want to do first? The guy, the Miami cop that kicked the restrained guy in the head, or do you want to go with the ATM guy?
Does it matter? Abuse is abuse. You pick it. I don't care. That's fine. Let's talk about that.
Since I have it up here, there is a video. You need to go to our site, republicbroadcasting.org, and take a look at this thing. And this is in Miami New Times. Miami Police Union says head-kicking cop used great restraint and should not be charged. Right. Hours after Miami police officer Mario Figueroa was charged with misdemeanor assault today, after film surfaced of the cop trying to kick a handcuffed man in the head. He didn't try. He kicked him in the head.
He did.
The city police union released a doozy of a statement defending Figueroa and insisting he hadn't broken the law or department policy. According to the police union, Figueroa's attempted face punning was in fact a de-escalation technique. How Orwellian can we get here? A de-escalation technique that proved Figueroa showed great restraint. Yeah, folks, you heard it right. While some have characterized this as police brutality, it couldn't be further from the truth. Newly minted union president Edward Lugo, who once nearly lost his job after getting caught in a 2009 FBI sting, wrote in a multi-paragraph letter this afternoon. The only thing brutal about this entire incident is that the suspect endangered the lives of the community in which our Miami police officers risked their lives to take this dangerous man off the streets. From the onset, the media stated that Officer Figueroa had kicked the suspect in the head. Well, the Miami Herald and multiple politicians warned earlier this week that Figueroa's defense would likely be missed, that he would be... wait a minute, let me back up. This writer of the story. That Figueroa's defense would likely be that he missed David Suarzo's face. That was the perp. In fact, even attempting to kick a suspect is both against policy and it's a crime. And they keep insisting here in this story, if the kick had landed, I've seen the video. I saw the guy's foot. I saw the guy's head snap.
Yeah.
It was a kick, and it landed. But the story goes, if the kick had landed, Figueroa could have been charged with battery instead of assault. State Attorney Catherine Fernandez Rundle reviewed arrest audio in which Figueroa taunted the suspected car thief after the cop missed walloping Suzo's head. In a statement from the Fraternal Order of Police, Lodge 20. So divorced from reality can only be described as performance art. Lugo wrote that the assault was something Figueroa was trained to do to de-escalate the situation, according to the union. The viral clip is what good policing looks like, folks. Miami police officers are trained to use defensive tactics as well as de-escalate the amount of force necessary to get a suspect to comply. He said, ignoring the fact that Suazo had already complied and was handcuffed on the ground before Figueroa tried to launch the suspect's head like a soccer ball. Officer Figueroa was involved in a high-speed car chase with suspected robber that turned into an all-out foot chase through a residential neighborhood. Officer Figueroa used great restraint, and he de-escalated his use of force once he approached the subject. Miami's two police unions, the FOP, which represents city cops, and Dade County Police Benevolent Association, which represents county cops and some other departments, have a history of making offensive statements to defend their officers. When North Miami police officer Jordan Aletta shot the unarmed Charles Kinsley, who was trying to help a man with autism, former PBA president John Rivera excused the shooting by claiming Aletta was aiming for the autistic man, who was also unarmed, by the way. Rivera also referred to Aletta as a hero, despite the fact that he nearly killed a citizen who had done absolutely nothing wrong. Aletta, by the way, was charged later with multiple felonies. Lugo, meanwhile, was installed at the FOP's head in October as a thank you for being a body man for Xavier Ortiz, a longtime leader of Miami's police union, who voluntarily demoted himself to vice president of the union when he was promoted to captain on the force. Ortiz, by the way, a man famous for doxing and harassing police critics, posting offensive missives about black people and Muslims, and racking up use of force complaints, has referred to Lugo as his best friend. Birds of a feather, they do flock together. Now, Lugo's appointment went largely unreported in the rest of the local media, which is a shame considering that he has a remarkably shady past as a cop. According to documents and audio recordings first published by local blogger Al Crespo, Miami's PD's Internal Affairs Unit made the extraordinary recommendation that Lugo be fired in 2009 after undercover FBI agents wearing recording devices pitched him on a plan to traffic stolen goods through Miami. Lugo allegedly looked the other way and didn't alert the department that the cops were ostensibly trying to ship stolen goods on the side. He kept his job, and only Ortiz used his power as then FOP head to intervene on his pal's behalf. Lugo also has a long record of use of force complaints. So I'm not going to bother with the rest of this story. But, folks, it is what it is. The guy tried to, and the scenario, the perp's on the ground. He's a black man. Cop is standing 3-4 feet from him, ordering him down on the ground. He complies. Mm-hmm. The officer walks over, gets on top of the guy, didn't use his knees, anything else. He's just straddling him, and he pulls his hands behind his back and puts the cuffs on. Once that's done, you see a cop running in from stage right, mm-hmm. I mean just running in, and kicks his head like it's a damn soccer ball. Yeah. Now, I don't know what video the New Times Miami was looking at, but this was assault right from the word go.
Yep. Yep. They don't realize that that kick itself, he could have given this guy a subdural bleed in the brain or an epidural bleed in the brain. This guy could have died.
Could have broke his damn neck.
Besides the neck, cervical vertebrae injury, I mean, a bleed. Your head is very, very vulnerable to bleed. A kick like that could give you a bleed in your head. You could die. Because your skull is a closed system. All you have to have is a bleed in the brain, and your skull does not expand, and your brain tissue dies. This guy could have died. That's excessive force, and I don't know. Like I said, we're living in a police state. If the police union will back this up and say it's okay and this is normal, no, it's not normal. This guy was not a threat. I mean, I've watched the video several times. He's lying down. He's cuffed. Perfect. You got him. So what's with the kick? This is excessive, and it irritates me. You know the whole thing, the FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police, they're going to have to change their acronym to FUP, F up people, because that's exactly what they've been doing. You know, and they've given the perfect ammo now to we start hearing these Black Lives Matter again. We're going to start hearing that crap again here pretty soon. And I'm not anti-cop, don't get me wrong, but there are some bad apples out there. There are a lot of Barney Fifes I'm running into here.
This is being taught.
Yeah,
this is being they're being instructed, and they're right. Pitting us against a citizenry. And we're you've seen the video. You saw the video of the poor bug exterminator.
Yeah,
that he and his girlfriend was in the hallway, and they killed him. I mean, they flat out murdered the guy.
Yeah.
You've seen the video, and this was right up your alley when they tried to come into a hospital to take a guy's blood, and he was unconscious. And the attending nurse, I guess she was the floor nurse, said, no, you can't do that. And then they arrested her and was going to throw her in a patrol car. We have seen innumerable videos, and I'm not talking about the nationally celebrated ones that Antifa is using and Black Lives Matter. Yeah, I got news for the black people that think that they're on the short end of the stick in this country. They've killed more white people than they've killed black people, okay? Does that make it okay with you? I mean, we're in agreement with police brutality stuff, up to and including toe-tagging you in the county morgue. And then it's them covering for themselves saying, well, you know, we reviewed the policy and, it was okay. It is not okay when the citizenry looks in its rearview mirror and one of you red and blue light boys lights somebody up and the person doesn't want to pull over, not because they don't want to get a ticket. It's because it might escalate into them being dead.
Yeah.
End of story. And put a period on it.
Yeah, it's scary stuff. I don't know. This is a bizarre time. These aren't interesting times. This is a bizarre time. I remember as a kid growing up, and our police department put on a local bike safety thing for kids, which I don't think they do that any longer. But we didn't fear them. We thought, you know, these are guys, these are people here to protect us. We can call on them. They were our friend in the community. And now, wow, this is night and day from when I was a kid growing up. Everything's changed. Like I said, I mean, that's why I'm so angry lately. But the police officers, no, I don't trust them anymore. I really don't. I mean, they generalize me and everybody else. And now I generalize, is this a good cop or a bad cop when I come into contact with one now? I just don't know. So yeah. I'm going to go on the side of safety and say, hey, I'm just going to be cool as heck, and hopefully this doesn't go ugly. And well, I'll be damned if I ever preach to him about the Constitution, because that will probably get me shot if I talk about my rights as a citizen and my Fourth Amendment rights, and they want to search my car. I'll probably get shot for that. And they'll, you know, what really ticks me off, John, is the excuse they can use when there's really no threat of violence on my end or anybody else's end. They can always use the excuse, I felt like I was threatened. That's their get-out-of-jail-free card. I felt threatened, so I had to use force and kill the guy. And when there was no threat at all, that's their get-out-of-jail-free card.
Wait a minute.
And that's what scares me.
Wait. Let me stop you here, Mr. Elkins.
Yes.
So if I feel threatened by a cop, does that mean that I can take action against that cop because I feared for my safety? How do you think that argument's going to stand in a court of law?
No, that's not on your end. It's not going to help you at all.
No, I understood what you said. I'm just saying if the tables were turned.
Yeah. No, it's not, because you still have to bow down to the ruler, and they're not going to care that maybe you have a bad cop here. And you may have to go through the whole system, the court system, and maybe you might get exonerated somewhere down the line after they see the big picture and enough media attention to it to say, you know what, you did use force to save your life because we have a bad cop here. But you're going to go through the ringer to do it. But they'll use it every time on their end to say, I felt threatened. And yeah, it's scary. It's scary stuff. I'm cautious. I'm very cautious these days. Very cautious.
Well, in the related story section of the Miami New Times, they give example after example. Miami cop broke state law by forcing a woman's pants down in Wynwood. Miami cops accused of choking innocent youth mentor after already catching the real burglary suspect next door. Ex-police union president and active cop Xavier Ortiz, which I just mentioned, suspended for harassing doxing citizen. Miami cop sued over fatal high-speed chase that severed bystander's legs. Unmarried man shot through neck by cop outside of Marlins game, Sioux City. Miami sued after cop kills unarmed homeless man in front of 50 kids in a park. Should I go on, or is that enough? This is just Miami. This is going on all across the country. Now, here's the question that you and I pose to each other. What's going to happen here? And I want to get around, Aaron in Colorado, hang on a second. I'll get to your call. What's going to happen when these politicians, a Democrat out of California, is proposing a bill just to confiscate firearms? We have counties and municipalities in various states that are making laws saying that they can confiscate your weapons. What do you suppose, Steve, is going to happen, and how do you think the president's going to react to this if people have just had enough and the last thing between them and the grave is their gun? And what happens when they come to start confiscating them and these cops start getting shot?
There's going to be blood. Yeah. There's going to be blood on the ground. The Baker Act, and I've seen the Baker Act out here in Florida, and you're probably familiar with the Baker Act, is basically a situation where if somebody, let's say somebody next door heard me and my wife fighting, they call the police and said, you know, we worry about this woman here. We think he's beating her. That's good enough excuse in the Baker Act to come and confiscate the weapons out of my house. It could be just a verbal argument, but somebody else blows it up much bigger. They're going to go on the side of the Baker Act and come and take my weapons. So, and you can turn anybody in, and it could be anonymous. So we're looking at a situation, this Baker Act thing can be used for everything to get your weapon. And yes, if you come to get some people's weapons, I guarantee there's going to be blood on the ground. They're going to hold on to that Second Amendment rights, and they have every right to do so. And where's Trump on this? I don't think Trump is going to stand up for the Second Amendment. I really don't. Sad to say, I don't think the man will stand up to the Second Amendment. This is the same man who also had no problem with Gina Haspel, first of all, bringing her into the CIA. And in the past, before even on the campaign trail, he talked about waterboarding and torture was okay. And I'm going to have this man, you think he's going to stand up for the U.S. Constitution? I don't think so. Don't think so. We're screwed.
By the way, I received your email.
Good. Let's check that out later.
Oh, no. I'm reading it right now.
Oh, okay.
Hey, what fantasy?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. There will come a day when people are going to have to ante up for what they are and what they've been doing. There will come a day. I guarantee you. You added a caller there, and it blanked out my caller screen there, Mike.
Colorado.
But I still don't have my screen. Yeah, Aaron in Colorado. Go ahead and refresh it again from your side. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a critique, and then now there's a couple of things. Maybe I got a minute. The first critique, I've been listening to you for about 12 years, and I've sent some money a couple of times. There's a couple of things I don't like about, John, your program. But one thing is you had a host the other day, and he was interviewing someone, and the guy he was interviewing just dropped the F-bomb all the time. And I have grandkids that I just love to have listen to this, and I couldn't stand it. And I called in to complain, and it was a reiterated, but the guest that this person had a couple of days ago was dropping the F-bomb and swear words and everything. So that's why I called.
But, hold on a second here. Who was the guest? You're probably talking about me, because I had a clip on Sunday, and it was edited. It was muted at the points where it should have been edited. There were two F-bombs, and they were edited completely. Completely.
Well, it didn't get edited.
No, it did. Go back to the archives and look at it.
I called, and the person that answered the phone, the program director, apologized to me and said that we've had complaints, so it wasn't edited. He dropped the F-bomb, and he had good information, but my grandkid can't handle it, so whatever. So I listened to it, and I called in, and the person behind the board apologized to me and said we have had complaints. It was pre-recorded, so what you're saying is not true. It got out.
So are you talking about Sunday? Are you talking about Sunday broadcast?
Two days ago.
Well, that wasn't me then, was it? Let's see. Yep. Today's Wednesday.
No, I don't think it wasn't you. It was a new guy. Okay, I'm not going to argue with you.
No, I'm not arguing with you either.
Hey, Aaron, let me ask you a question. Do you think this is appropriate for you to come on the air and lodge your complaint, or would it have been better for you to call me and have I would have talked to you, I would have ferreted the situation out, and I would have found out who exactly this was and exactly what took place. Do you think this was fair to do this on air? Do you?
It is fair because I have my grandkids.
Oh, God.
Are you going to hang up on me?
Are you going to say something intelligent, or are you going to keep whining?
Hey, two days ago was Monday.
Cut the guy.
My show was on Sunday. So if you said 2 days ago, who was that host 2 days ago if that's Monday? It's Wednesday today, right? So Monday, you're talking about Monday. Who were you talking about on Monday who did the F-bomb? Who was that?
I just took him down. Good. I've got several people, some of which, if I mention their name, they're trying to set a trap for possible lawsuits. I've got people that have been contacting me because somebody that's not even an advertiser on this network didn't deliver their product. I spoke to the gentleman, and this was the Dollar DVD project. The guy has at one time had 20 printers. He does this only not for making profit. He does this to get information out. Now, the guy spent $169, and he waited 3 or 4 weeks, and he didn't get it. and he wasn't satisfied with the response he got back. So the threats start coming, attorney general, this, that, and the other. Doesn't know Ron, doesn't know how he operates. He was way behind because he only had one printer left, and that broke, and it was going to cost him $120 to get it fixed that he didn't have. So he's got these orders to fulfill. Off of these orders, he's not making any hardly any profit whatsoever. And here we got a guy that's willing to sue him, and now the guy's going after me because, well, his banner or his name was on your website. The guy's trying to come after me. Now, it doesn't stop there. You remember I was going to have John B. Wells on? Well, we've got a slick little guy out there misrepresenting stuff. Called up John B. Wells' gang over there and said, oh, you know, you better not do that guy's show, you know, and this, this, and he was talking about your lawyer, and he was talking crap, and blah, 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 blah. That's why John B. Wells has not been on this program. I've got a crew of people out there trying to start lawsuits, throwing mud around. I've got them, they're trying to, and I'm not being paranoid, Steve, am I?
No, you're not at all.
I am being absolutely factual here. It's the setup. They can't get to me any other way. They can't stop this network, so they figure they're going to come after me and try to skin me a little bit and see what happens. Well, I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to be on the airwaves tomorrow, and I'll be here Friday, and I'll be here next Monday. Well, maybe not if I'm coming down to your place, but you get the point.
Yeah, if Colorado, he got everything wrong. My show's on Sunday. If you said 2 days ago, that's Monday. So I don't know who you're talking about. My show was
well,
was
and
edited,
you know what?
And I'm not going
to. Well, wait a minute. 2 days ago, what show were you on with? You were on with me.
Yeah.
Remember?
Right. Okay. Yeah. Monday.
Okay.
Monday.
This is the show he's referencing, and okay. I even what? Wait a minute, Mike. Ken O'Keefe, the vegetarian. And he was dropping F-bombs on whose show? Okay. All right. Pull the show. Let me hear it. All right. If that, is Aaron still there? Okay. Aaron, if that is the case, see, this is why you should talk to me off air. If this was the case, I needed the information. I needed to talk to the people involved in it rather than airing this crap that you're doing right now. Shame on you. Francis in North Carolina. Hello, Francis.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Interesting conversation to follow up behind, but hey. In light of the earlier chat that you fellows were having about authors being trigger happy or itchy fingers or whatever and wanting some reason to shoot people for the whatever reason it might be, whether it be a roll of mints or pray tell what, or even looking at them wrong, or not at all, I am wondering about one thing. When they do have their training at the local academy or whatever, or local police department for that matter, if I recall, I could be mistaken since I don't go to such places, do they not have like a shooting range or whatever that they go and do their practicing and so forth? At yeah. one time, they probably used a hanging piece of paper with a human figure on it, but then again, surely this day and time, it's graduated up to a hanging mannequin of a person for that matter. It could be dressed or undressed, who knows what. I don't really care. But then again, the question is, do they not have that?
Francis, hang on 1 second. We're at the top of the hour break. Hold on.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.